The Redan from the Ontological Argument, by St. Anselm. About the author. St. Anselm, 1033-1109, a member of the Benedictine Order, and Bishop of Canterbury, extended the Augustine tradition of seeking to believe in order, to understand the truth, and existence of God rather, that seeking to understand in order, to believe in the truth, and existence of God. Even so, St. Anselm does not distinguish clearly between religious and philosophical pursuits. Many theologians avoid trust in reason, from the fear of the specter of skepticism. However, Anselm believes reason is necessary to elucidate and validate faith. Anselm is often considered to be the father of scholastic philosophy, since his work emphasizes linguistic and analytical thinking. Scholasticism was the dominant approach to philosophical and theological problems during the medieval period. About the work. Although Anselm's argument for God's existence, presented in this article, is based on predominantly in reason, Anselm presents the argument as clarification Christian faith. The heart of his argument is the insight that if God is defined as a being than which no greater can be conceived, then God could not be conceived of as not existing, because perfection, he thinks, implies existence. Baruch Spinoza and René Descartes employed versions of the ontological argument where the very concept of God as a perfect being implies existence as a property. In philosophical jargon, a feature of the essence of God is said to be existence. The Redan selection from the Proslogium begins now. Lord, I acknowledge and I thank you that you have created me in this, your image, in order that I may be mindful of you, may conceive of you, and love you. But that image has been so consumed and wasted away by vices, and obscured by the smoke of wrongdoing, that it cannot achieve that for which it was made, except you renew it and create it anew. I do not endeavor, O Lord, to penetrate your sublimity, for in no wise do I compare my understanding with that, but I long to understand in some degree your truth, which my heart believes and loves. For I do not seek to understand that I may believe, but I believe in order to understand. For this also I believe, that unless I believed, I should not understand. Truly there is a God, although the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And so, Lord, do you, who do give understanding to faith, give me, so far as you knowest it to be profitable, to understand that you are as we believe, and that you are that which we believe. And indeed, we believe that you are a being than which nothing greater can be conceived. Or is there no such nature, since the fool has said in his heart, there is no God? Psalms 1. But at any rate, this very fool, when he hears of this being of which I speak, a being than which nothing greater can be conceived, understands what he hears, and what he understands is in his understanding, although he does not understand it to exist. For it is one thing for an object to be in the understanding, and another to understand that the object exists. When a painter first conceives of what he will afterwards perform, he has it in his understanding, but he does not yet understand it to be, because he has not yet performed it. But after he has made the painting, he both has it in his understanding, and he understands that it exists, because he has made it. Hence even the fool is convinced that something exists in the understanding, at least, than which nothing greater can be conceived. For when he hears of this, he understands it. And whatever is understood exists in the understanding. And assuredly that than which nothing greater can be conceived cannot exist in the understanding alone. For, suppose it exists in the understanding alone, then it can be conceived to exist in reality, which is greater. Therefore, if that than which nothing greater can be conceived exists in the understanding alone, the very being than which nothing greater can be conceived is one than which a greater can be conceived. But obviously this is impossible. Hence, there is doubt that there exists a being than which nothing greater can be conceived, and it exists both in the understanding and in reality. God cannot be conceived not to exist. God is that than which nothing greater can be conceived. That which can be conceived not to exist is not God, and it assuredly exists so truly that it cannot be conceived not to exist. For it is possible to conceive of a being which cannot be conceived not to exist, and this is greater than one which can be conceived not to exist. Hence, if that than which nothing greater can be conceived not to exist, it is not that than which nothing greater can be conceived. But this is an irreconcilable contradiction. There is, then, so truly a being than which nothing greater can be conceived to exist, that it cannot even be conceived not to exist. And this being you are, O Lord our God. So truly therefore, do you exist, O Lord, my God, that you cannot be conceived not to exist, and rightly. For if a mind could conceive of a being better than you, the creature would rise above the Creator, and this is most absurd. And indeed, whatever else there is, except you alone, can be conceived not to exist. To you alone therefore, it belongs to exist more truly than all other beings, and hence in a higher degree than all others. For whatever else exists does not exist so truly, and hence in a less degree, it belongs to it to exist. Why then, has the fool said in his heart, there is no God? Psalms Ziv. When since it is so evident, to rational mind, that you do exist, in the highest degree of all, why except that he is dull, and a fool? How the fool has said in his heart, what cannot be conceived a thing, may be conceived in two ways. One, when the word signifying it is conceived to, when the thing itself is understood. As far as the word goes, God can be conceived not to exist, in reality he cannot. But how has the fool said in his heart, what he could not conceive, or how is it, that he could not conceive what he said in his heart? Since it is the same to say, in the heart, and to conceive. But if really nay, since really he both conceived, because he said in his heart, and did not say in his heart, because he could not conceive, there is more than one way in which a thing is said in the heart, or conceived. For in one sense, an object is conceived, when the word signifying it is conceived, and in another, when the very entity, which the object is understood. In the former sense, then God can be conceived not to exist, but in the latter, not at all. For no one who understands what fire and water are can conceive fire to be water, in accordance with the nature of the facts themselves, although this is possible according to the words. So then, no one who understands what God is can conceive that God does not exist, although he says these words in his heart, either without any or with some foreign signification. For God is that than which a greater cannot be conceived. And he who thoroughly understands this assuredly, understands that this being so truly exists, that not even in concept can it be non-existent. Therefore he who understands that God so exists, cannot conceive that he does not exist. I thank you, gracious Lord, I thank you, because what I formerly believed, by your bounty, I now so understand by your illumination, that if I were unwilling to believe that you do exist, I should not be able not to understand this to be true. This completes the reading of the ontological argument by Anselm under the new free documentation license. This file in this other formats is available on the internet at philosophy.lander.edu.